each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our time.
Hey everybody, and welcome, and it's a wonderful day because who was born on this day?
Who was born?
Somebody very important to
Let's
us
see.
Was born on
who
this day.
Who could that be? Wow.
Starts with an N.
N?
Ends
wow.
with a K.
Wow. Could it be Nick?
Nick. Happy birthday, Nick.
Happy birthday, Nick.
It's his birthday today.
Wow.
It's a beautiful month to be born in.
Yeah.
Do you all sing happy birthday to Nick?
I can't sing. I'm not going to sing on the air.
I think Armin should do it.
Armin's here, too. Everybody, the gang, the whole gang's here. Christina's not, though.
In the elf voice.
I'll let the elf voice. I'll let the Armin and Tony can sing it. I'm not going to sing on the radio.
Got my mic on?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, okay, here we go.
Yeah.
I'll wait for Armin to start.
Okay.
The elf? You want me to do that?
Yeah, do it.
All right, here we go. Let's do it. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Nick. Happy birthday to you.
I can't even follow that.
That was pretty good. Yeah, you know. Happy birthday, Nick.
Thank you very much. I stepped in for that right there, but thank you so much.
Wasn't that the most beautiful birthday song you ever heard?
Oh, absolutely. Great. Absolutely the best birthday song
of
ever
course.
Heard right there. Thank you, little elves.
Armin could spend a whole hour doing happy birthdays in 60 different voices,
yeah.
I think, you know, so.
So I can do Russian covers, right? Happy birthday to you, Nick.
Boris Bedanov right
happy
there. There
birthday,
we go.
Hey,
that's what I'm saying. I feel like I'm in the middle of a cartoon.
Oh, that's all, folks. And now we return Winds of Change to our regularly scheduled program.
Did you get the one card that I sent
you? Yes, thank you so much for everything.
I could not resist that card.
Yes, I love
that.
Do you
know what I'm talking about?
Yes, yeah. The Star Wars one. That is absolutely, nice. And I read that right there. That's perfect. And thank you so much for that and the cake and everything. This morning, I went out to breakfast with my parents, too.
Yeah.
So we went out for breakfast for my birthday. Usually it goes for dinner, but we decided to go because of my work schedule and everything. It was easier with breakfast, mostly.
Did they put candles on your eggs?
Oh, I didn't think of that. No, they didn't give that thing there. But
or
yes,
the toast?
I did just dry toast with strawberry jelly on there for that. So that's where. But yes, I did get all that stuff this morning, and thank you so much.
You're welcome. So you have to know this, and I'm not bragging at all.
No, it's all right.
I'm not one to get birthday cards and all that,
okay.
But yesterday I said, I'm going out, and I'm going to get a birthday card for Nick.
Oh, now I feel honored.
You should feel. And so I saw the one card. So he actually got two cards for
right.
me. So I saw the one card, and I thought it was appropriate from a right. priest.
Of course.
But then I saw this other card, and I said, I got to get this one, too.
The
Star Wars.
Yes,
you know?
I'll show that to you at Sony afterwards. With that. But it's really cool. And I saw that. I love what you wrote in there, too, as well. And how with the Force being related to God, and how may He be with you as well.
That's
so
right.
That was really nice.
That's right. Because I'm not a Star Wars. I've been. I try. In fact, God bless us. The young guy that gave me the whole Right. It's more than a trilogy. I forget how many movies there are, but
call it a saga, basically. Saga.
Yeah, he got me the whole set. I just couldn't get into it.
That's fine.
But the Force, I'm assuming the Force is in reference to.
There's a lot of references with that being related to religion and God and the Holy Spirit in a way, because of how it's supernatural but also powerful and mystical in there. And so there's a lot of, if you look behind the scenes and look more research and into it a little bit more, the Force has a lot of religious references in there a lot of times.
Yeah, so it's kind of like this Lord of the Rings, which I, right? Did you guys tell me that?
Yeah, we had this discussion last week.
Yeah, because I want to bring that up again today, because Stephen Colbert is a big Lord of the Rings
fan.
And he's read the book over 50 times.
Oh, that's good.
And but he's, don't know a lot about him. I don't watch late night TV and all that, but there was an interview that I caught because of the reference to the Lord of the Rings, and so I'm going to share that a little bit on the radio today. But just a little bit, because he makes some really really good points. But the what was I going to say? Anyway, whatever. But happy birthday, Nick.
Well, you were focusing on Stephen Colbert right there, and you were
I was going to direct my attention to Tony for some reason, and I don't know why.
But here, I'll step out for
maybe
a second.
I wanted to apologize because I didn't get you a birthday card.
No, you don't need it.
But thank you so much, Father.
No, you're welcome. You deserve it. You know, you deserve it. Two cards. I don't think I've ever given anybody two cards either.
I know that myself. I'm the same way. It's like I don't do things, but then sometimes something grabs you. It's like, okay, this screams out, so you have to do it. So
I just got it in my in my head. You know, I got to get this guy a birthday card, and I got the one, and then I saw this other one. I just can't
just work.
Can't resist. It was. I mean, did you see it?
No, I didn't.
Oh,
you didn't see it. No.
You
I just walked in. I just barely walked in.
Star Wars. You know, I saw the Star Wars, and I said, that's for Nick. And then I thought, well, probably he's getting that from everybody because
it might be.
Did you get another one like that from anybody? Do you know or? Not yet. Okay, you probably
the night still. The
maybe I was
still,
the only one this. Anyway, how are you?
I'm good.
I feel good today for some reason.
Yeah, it's good. Shows. You know?
Good, yeah. I guess because it's Nick's birthday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
I just don't like it because it's sunny outside. Oh, yesterday was so nice.
It's sunny out today.
Yeah,
it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Thank God.
It is nice.
The other, last couple of days, it was like we were in March. So, Nick, all the way I have to tell you, Nick, as well about the cake. I bought him a little cake. Mm. So I had this other cake first. It had a cupcake on top of that's for himself. He's got to make sure we celebrate.
Nick knows how to take care of himself.
Exactly, right. Yeah, we just need Armin's happy birthday.
Elves.
Happy birthday. So I bought a little cake. I was going to get you a big cake, but I thought, no, I'll just get him a little cake because I don't want to spend that much money. But I got him there was a little cake. It was really nice, but there was a cupcake on top of the cake.
Right.
And so the woman at the Jewel put it, and she's getting ready, trying to put it in a case.
Right.
And I saw that the cupcake was tilting. And I says, well, no, the cupcake is tilting. Right. She says, okay, you just fix it yourself. And I said, no, I want a cake that looks like it's, that hasn't been tampered with.
Right.
So I put that aside, and then I got him a little chocolate cake, you know. And then did you notice how she was I was surprised. She was able to write Happy Birthday, Nick, on the cake.
Wow.
I didn't think she could do it.
It's pretty cool.
Because it's a little tiny cake. It's a little bit bigger than a cupcake.
Oh.
So he's coming back.
Taking care of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got me out of my toes today with everything, so that's okay.
Do you like chocolate?
Yes, I do. Chocolate cake is actually my favorite.
All right, see?
So yeah, that was
impressive. Because the first cake wasn't chocolate.
Ah, but the cupcake sounds interesting too. But I mean, that's a great one there. Plus, I was impressed with how she put in the happy birthday Nick with all that.
And because it's a little tiny cake, it's just for you. It's not to be shared with anybody.
It's perfect size.
For you.
Oh, it's just for me. Okay.
So I wanted, I wanted to keep it away from Tony and Christina and myself.
So if it has his name on there, we can't touch it.
Exactly. It's big enough only for you. But it's bigger.
I got to put up signs like, "Do not touch this. Do not touch this for Nick here." Be like forbidden cake.
I mean, you can share it, but it's just
forbidden cake.
Anyway, so I got to tell you about this interview with Stephen
Colbert.
Do you know him?
Yeah, I used to like him. I don't really like him.
And that's, by the way, that's the reason. The only time I see late night shows when I go home to visit my family, then I see
he's probably the last one I would look at, only because I just late night shows.
They've all become very political.
They've all
become very political.
And he's actually become a little bit more political than he used to be. So I don't particularly.
That's what I understand. But he is. So I don't want to. But I like what he said. And I've heard that from other people as well. Right. It's. I guess it depends on where you stand politically and all that.
Well, but it's not so much even that. It's just that I want to be entertained. I remember how those shows used to be entertaining.
Johnny Carson. They're
pure garbage. Yeah. They're just, it's not even worth watching.
What about Fallon?
Fallon is another one.
Really?
I liked Fallon before he got that show.
Really?
And now I do not like him.
Oh, that's interesting. Wow.
I don't like any of them because it's a nonstop. It's not entertainment anymore. It's, you know, sometimes you want to, especially at night for me, that's when I want to relax.
I
want to be entertained. Sure. That's not entertaining anymore.
All right. Well, I'm sure if they listened to us, they wouldn't like us either.
I bet they'd like us better.
I don't know. Anyway, but Stephen Colbert, I didn't. Mm-hmm. What caught my attention was the title was Stephen Colbert on Tolkien, mm-hmm. and loss and faith, and that caught my attention because I knew he was a Catholic.
Yeah.
In fact, Gerilyn Sullivan, who's she and her mother built the studio. Basically, they financed the building of the studio, which is really a nice studio. But she actually attended a party with him.
Wow.
I don't know if it was with his family, but she was in New York and she was, she knew friends of friends, mm-hmm. or she either knew the family, she knows him. So,
right.
But she was so tempted to talk to him a little bit about his politics or something. Yeah. She told me about that, but she didn't say anything. I think she's a good friend of his wife. Uh-huh. I think she's, maybe they went to school together or something, I don't know. But anyway. But this title caught my attention, and as I said, he's read The Lord of the Rings. He says he lost count at 50,
oh.
But he's also in the middle of a 180-hour lecture series by Corey Olson, which would be kind of interesting. He says just listens to 15 minutes a day, and I thought I might look into that because I do. I like the movie, the trilogy, mm-hmm. the book. I want to really, actually, I should just read the books, but, and I'm sorry to say that I haven't really read the books, mm-hmm. but I've watched the movies and I've read, other commentary on the story, and it inspires me.
I've actually read every Star Wars book and saw the movie
many
times. That's
amazing. So you're an avid reader.
Yeah, and I like
it. That's good. I read too. I just don't have time. There's a lot of things. There's not enough time in a lifetime.
Sometimes the movie's a little bit better because you can just look at it and
three hours. The one thing I can do is I cannot sacrifice my prayer time for reading time, and I mean that sincerely. Not because in fact, he'll address that mm-hmm. whether he realizes it or not. I'll show you in just a moment here, and that goes beyond The Lord of the Rings. But the question that was asked him is, What is it that you get out of The Lord of the Rings? What inspires you? What keeps you going back to the story, to the book? And in a word, he said, loss.
Oh.
Loss. And I thought that was interesting. And he says, what about loss? He says, Tolkien makes loss beautiful. He makes loss beautiful. That he has this medievalist view of the world, and that the world is in a constant state of diminishment. The elves in the story, for those who might know the stories, originally they create the rings to stop the diminishment of the world, to maintain the beauty of the moment of creation that they came into, and the great revelation, which comes from Tolkien's elves, is that men are incredibly ambitious and build high towers because they know they're going to be gone, and so the elves are laid back because they're going to be around forever, and so they don't have that great ambition, but their increasing sadness is that they see the diminishment of the world, and that sadness, he says, Colbert, is, I think, a big part of Catholicism, and in fact it is, because Tolkien was a very devout Catholic. Mm-hmm. But this goes, what I like about this, do you know how often I say that I wish I could be joyful? Mm-hmm. I mean, I have a joy, but it's felt deep inside myself, so that even in suffering, there's a strange, deep-seated joy. Mm-hmm. But to be joyful, I mean, I'll tell you, I was speaking to Father Michael from Africa. He's from Kenya. You know who he is. He comes to me. That man is so joyful.
Yes.
He just exudes joy, and many of the Africans do. And I happened to see him the Saturday. I was he had the morning mass, and I was leaving for coffee or something, and I saw him. He was getting ready to leave, and that man, he's just a joyful priest. I thought I would love to have that joy, but it's just that kind of joy isn't in me, and that's always bothered me. You know, when the Holy Father speaks about joy, and I just I just don't get it. I get it at a certain level, but at another level, I don't. And it's not that I'm not a joyful person. I just don't exude joy, you know. I tend to be a very serious-minded person. Not to even say that, for instance, Father Michael is not. He's a serious-minded priest, man. But he's always smiling, and I know people like that, and that's beautiful. I envy them. I'm sinfully jealous and envious of them. You know, I have to confess that every time I go to confession. You know that I'm jealous of all these joyful people. You know, no, I'm just trying to be funny. But the point is that. So I think, you know, as he's speaking about this, I think that's part of what draws me into the movie, is there's a certain realism to what I find within myself and around me as well, and that is that. This sadness as in view of a world that is diminishing. Now, let me explain that, or as he explains it, but I relate to this, because he said, okay, the sadness is part of a big part of Catholicism, because God himself dies, and God himself has agony, and of course, original sin, because we feel the effect of original sin. We're dealing with that kind of brokenness all the time. The heroic thing to do is to accept your diminishment, to accept, in a human's case, death, because death is a reality. And in Tolkien's world, death is the gift of what's the woman, Ilúvatar? I don't know if I pronounce that right or not, but she's the. Forget that I even said that. Anyway, whoever it is that represents God, in the book, in the trilogy. But anyway, Catholicism is deeply combed through all these things to perceive the world in the light of eternity, to accept your death as a gift, to accept suffering as a path toward joy, a path toward joy. All of those are in Christ on the cross. So he says, I think the books are another way for me to perceive the reality that my faith is trying to reveal to me, what my faith is trying to reveal to me through its tradition. Do you get the realism there? The point is because I always, you know, when people ask me to pray for them, I always pray, inevitably, it's almost become my formula prayer, spontaneous, but it's become a formula prayer. I would say, you know, I pray Almighty God, hold you in the palm of his hand, draw you deep into the heart of Jesus, into the heart of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and that he give you the grace not to fear the cross, but to see beyond the cross into the glory and the light and the joy of the resurrection, you know? And that any dark, diabolical powers be banished from your life and sent to the foot of the cross of Jesus without harm to you or anyone. And I place you under the care of the Holy Mother of God. That's, inevitably, that's the pray, the prayer I pray all the time when people ask me to pray. Because the reality is that the cross is ever before us. And so there is a sadness, and there is a diminishment This is part of the human reality. So you can't argue that, because in fact, indeed, what is our condition in life is that we're, you know, as I had yesterday the another graduation mass for the students from the public school, and again, maybe some people may say, well, this is the, you know, this is your pessimism coming out, this is your negativity, but no, I say this is reality. I say to them, you know, life is not easy. We talked about that last week, I think, as I was speaking about the graduation of our students from our school. But to impress upon their young minds that you're going out there and yet you have great potential and God has given you great gifts, if you can but have the discipline, really, to enter into your inner sanctum, that into the deep recesses of the soul, and find God there, and let God, the potter, mold the clay of your life. He's the creator. You're the created one. He's created you. He loved you into life. He's the artist. You're the work of his hands. But we are in the battle. We're in a spiritual battle, and you're going out into the battle. And so you're going into high school. You're going to be confronted with all kinds of things, all kinds of things. I use the example of a young girl who was extremely talented, very talented musician in high school, and there were drug dealers outside the school on the other, you know, across from the property of the school, dressed very nice, looked like really decent, nice-looking guys, and they gave her drugs. She took the drugs. They gave, you know, again and again. And then all of a sudden, they wanted something for the drug. In other words, you want the drugs? Okay, you get a fork over, $10, then it was $20, it was $30. The price kept going up. You know, what they did is they basically hooked her into the use of drugs. And then she began to prostitute herself in order to get the money to feed her, you know, so she could feed herself with those drugs. You get the point? Mm-hmm. And all that she lost in the process. That's maybe an extreme example, but it's not that extreme because there's a lot of stuff out there. In fact, speaking about going to get this birthday cards for Nick, I have to say, quite honestly, I was appalled by people's behavior in the supermarket. I really was appalled. It was like, wow, what is it? Maybe it was it? Is it the time of day? Is it? But it just, I saw all kind of ugly behavior, attitudinal wise. And I have people who come to me all the time and they just say how hard it is to be on the bus, to be out there, and what they're dealing with on a day-to-day basis, and what it takes for them to just keep from exploding or to maintain a kind of civility. But they just, people say they just want to go into a cocoon, into a, this one young woman said, I just want to go home and stay in my room. That's sad.
Yeah.
That's very sad. But anyway, so we deal with this all the time. Now, it's to have faith that allows us, in the faith in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who's revealed himself in Jesus, Jesus who redeems us and will lift us beyond the darkness of sin and death, even as we're in the realm of, what did Jesus say? But Satan is a father of lies, a prince of darkness. He's a prince of this world. So if we put ourselves under the lordship of Christ Jesus, the lordship of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in the mystical body, the fellowship, right, the communion, the mystical communion, the saints, and then we who share the faith on the way, then we have to but get into the work of life, and we have to fight the good fight. We're in the battle, and we got to claim the victory. But in doing so, we can't flee from the reality. We have to be witnesses to truth in the reality of the evil that is ever present, to varying degrees, in varying ways, in us and all around us. I mean, even aside from just what we read about in the news, some of the horrific things that you read about. I just said that young woman. You remember a couple of weeks ago? In fact, the baby just died yesterday. But I think yesterday, the day before. But this young woman was lured into a home, thinking she was buying clothes for her baby that was going to be born soon, and they murdered her and ripped the baby from her womb. I mean, that is incomprehensible. That is evil. That is pure diabolical. And we read about similar stuff all the time. But apart from those extreme things, it's just the behavior, attitude that I see, that I saw yesterday, you know, as I was buying two cards for Nick for his birthday and a little cake, you know, something I just don't do, and I'm happy I did it. But it was an eye-opener. It really was. We'll take a break. We'll come back. And I want to continue just about what he says about faith, and something I find really interesting, and I think you will too. So don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
There is a lot going on at St. Stan's. St. Stanislaus Koska is the sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago.
Yeah,
there is Eucharistic adoration before the iconic monstrance, confessions 4 days per week, and masses in English, Polish, and Spanish. There's much more waiting for you here. St. Stan's is right off the Kennedy Expressway, just 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Find out more by going to ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org, and enter into the presence of Christ.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stan's School has an amazing PK 3 through 8th grade program focused on leadership and social-emotional learning, and is one of the only schools to implement the Reading and Writing Project of Columbia University and the University of Chicago. Everyday math across the board, PK 3 through 8th, is taught by our highly educated and dedicated teachers. St. Stan's students are academically challenged with advanced-level placement opportunities as their test scores and high school admissions speak volumes. St. Stan's is an integral part of the Wicker Park community, where you feel welcome and at home with other families and friends who enjoy the same warm, friendly, and safe atmosphere for their children. We have small classroom size, which makes a difference in the whole learning experience. Many schools have excellent programs. At St. Stan's, we empower students to be excellent. Join the St. Stan's family. It is a selective admissions process. Grades 1 through 8 are tested and interviewed. Call 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. Or stop by at 1255 North Noble Street. That's 1 block north of Division, just off the Kennedy. More information at ststanschicago.org. That's ststanschicago.org. Save the dates for Prairie Fest, Friday through Sunday, August 9th through the 11th at Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church in Homer Glen, Illinois. More info at ByzantineCatholic.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So we're talking about, again, sadness and loss and joy and hope. But as responding to this interview with Stephen Colbert, who I don't think I've ever seen his show. I've just heard people speak about him. But he said that the he's fixated, or he's got an obsession for the Lord of the Rings, and it's a very Catholic type movie. It's got everything there. But the But he said what he likes about it is it's about loss, and that there's a certain diminishment of the world that is a reality. And all we have to do is look at our own lives. You know, like I was telling them, I was going to make this point about the graduates. Yes, I said, you know, I said, how old are you? You're 13. Because I used the gospel of Jesus when he was 12 and he went into the temple. And his parents, the Blessed Virgin and St. Joseph, they had gone for the Passover, and they're on their way back to Nazareth. And, of course, they assumed, there's the whole clan, all the kinsfolk and all that. And so he's with his cousins and everybody. And so, but at the end of the day, everybody goes into their own nuclear family, and he wasn't there. He wasn't to be found. And so they're asking everybody, and nobody knows where he's at. So they had to make the trip back to Jerusalem, and they find him in the temple. He's 12 years old. And they said, you know, the Blessed Mother said, how could you do this to us? Do you not see that your father and I are worried? Speaking of St. Joseph, who is basically his foster father. And he said, but did you not know that I must be about the work of my Father, you know, God the Father? And she, the Blessed Mother, just ponders all this. But the gospel is very clear that he went back and he grew in stature and wisdom and grace before God and before men. He was obedient to his parents. So I was trying to impress that upon the students as well, that, you know, to be obedient, to keep God. You know, imagine if your parents didn't know where you were, and they were looking for you, and they found you in the church. I said, our church is open 24/7. You know, I was trying to tell, you know, you can come here any time, just to ponder the things of life, to place yourself before God, to grow in relation to God, and that's why I said that. That's why the church is open. But imagine if your parents found you here. And he said, well, what did you, this is the last place we expected to find you. And you would say, but, you know, I'm discerning, or I come here to do the will of God. You know, that we should, this is what we're called to do, is to do the will of God. We come from God, we go to God, and God we live. But I said, you know, you want to grow in the Lord. Don't be strangers to God. And you're going to be confronted with all kinds of things out there. You know, the devil is a deceiver. He is a seducer. He creates the illusion. I even asked him, as I would ask, you know, often at a quinceañera, you know, if the devil were to come, how would he present himself? And, of course, they all said, you know, because I was, at that point, I tried to be very, I was up right in front of their pew, you know. Mm-hmm. I went down there to talk to them. And they said, and they were reluctant because, these aren't students who come here all the time. They're from the public school, which means they could, but we're in close proximity to the school, and I've been doing this for years. For those who want to come, of course, the school can't. They have to do this apart from the school. But the principal was there too. I was very happy about that. And of course, they said, you know, the devil, he's gonna present himself.
He's red, he's beastly, you know, and ugly and thorns and.
Oh, I said, but that's, you know, that's a childish image of the devil. But I said, you know, Jesus is very clear that he doesn't come in such a way. He's a deceiver. So he who is the prince of darkness, he comes clothed in light to deceive, seduce. He creates the illusion. And, you know, They kind of get that, I think. But I said, you know, okay, how old are you? Okay, Jesus was 12 when he went to the temple. Okay, so all these students were 13 years old. I said, you know, before you know it, and you can't perceive it perhaps, although, and I said, and they agreed, that even young people today are saying time is going so fast because of, it really, it's the technology, you know, it's just, let's slow it down. To slow it down, we have to detach from all this technology, I think, as good as it is, create the space. But I said, before you know it, you're going to be 23. And before you know it, you're going to be 53.
And before you know it, you're going to be as old as I am. And the parents, of course, are all there listening and nodding like they're in agreement. But I said, the point is that when Colbert speaks about his take on The Lord of the Rings about loss and sadness and diminishment, the diminishment of the world, and yet that Tolkien makes it beautiful because of Tolkien's faith. The fact is, you know, we can't go back, right? I mean, I'm still in shock that I'm 64 years old. I really am. I still can't accept that reality, this reality. I wish I were 37. Somebody just turned 37 today, I think. Nick, isn't that 37? Yeah, he looks younger than that, though. He looks like he's 27. Mm-hmm. But you keep thinking can't of yourself as yeah. I keep thinking of myself as though I'm in my 30s. But it's still shocking to me that I'm 64, and it's even more shocking to me that I could be, in a blink of an eye, 84 if I live that long, or maybe my days are numbered. You know, we don't know. But you get the point mm-hmm. I'm making. Nobody can deny that. You know, we reach there's a certain peak, probably by the time you're 30 or 33, and all of a sudden you begin the trajectory downward. And, you know, we do anything and everything we can to fight it or to keep ourselves young, and we should, because, mm-hmm. but reality is reality. But the faith is something that, you know, if you want to find the Ponce de Leon, what was it? The Fountain of Youth.
Fountain of Youth, yeah.
I always say you got to find the faith, because it's the faith that keeps us young. Even though the body gets old and it's going to die, the faith keeps us young. We're ever becoming young in faith, you know? And that's really the beautiful thing about our faith. But what is faith? And this is a question that was addressed to him, because Colbert said that the heroic thing to do is to accept your diminishment, to accept, in a human's case, death. In Tolkien's world, death is a gift, and that's certainly the case in Catholicism. Catholicism is deeply combed through all these things, to perceive the world in the light of eternity, to accept death as a gift, to accept suffering as a path toward joy. All those are in Christ on the cross. So he says, I think the books are another way, speaking of himself, for me to perceive the reality that my faith is trying to reveal to me, what it's trying to reveal to me through its tradition. But faith is different. Now, see if you can answer this. I thought this was really a keen response to... He's answering his own question. He says, faith is different. Faith is not trying to change the world. Faith is not trying to change God. Faith isn't trying to change the order of things. Faith isn't trying to maintain your position. Faith isn't trying to make less of the other. What is faith, then, would you say? He says, faith is asking God to change you.
He changed me. Yeah, that makes sense.
It makes clear sense, because I find, and I resonate with that, because that's what I do. I'm always asking the Lord, you know, show me the way, get me out of the way, purge me, transform me, sanctify me. Because if we're created in the image and likeness of God, then the whole of our life journey is growing into our true image, into our true selves, and yet we know that we are by nature egocentric, and we know that we have a natural inclination to the things of this world, right? But faith is asking God to change me, perfect me. I think that's the gospel today, as a matter of fact. be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. I can't perfect myself. I have to be perfected. That means I have to, because we're in this this place of battle, we feel the effect of original sin. We are by nature egocentric. We're free to accept or reject God. Mm-hmm. We have to make those decisions every day, our fiat every day, yes to God. But it's a yes to God's transformative spirit, the sanctifying, transformative, purifying spirit of God that brings us into our true self. So that, I mention this so often on the radio, when Jesus says, die to yourself, you will live. Lose yourself and you'll find yourself. And as Colbert says, you are the subject of God's love. And in accepting that, you can transform yourself and release yourself of all these appetites that are almost always at someone else's expense. It's a very wise word.
I never thought of that. Yeah, that
absolutely.
Is pretty wise.
But I would even go on to say that it's not that you can transform yourself and release yourself, it's but what God can do. So, you know, we have to come to this place in life where we say, you know, I can't do it without you, God. I need you, you know, to persevere. And I tell people this inevitably always in confessional, you got to persevere in humility. And humility means acknowledging that you need God, that you can't do it yourself. And then surrender, offer yourself to the Lord. And the Lord is faithful. He's faithful. But he doesn't, but again, the world is diminishing. And so, yes, we are, in a sense, co-creators. And it's amazing what we're able to do. But with all the advancements, I mean, the building of our cities, the technology, the everything, you know, all that the human intellect has been able to do, because it's a mere a reflection of God's supreme intellect. But there's also that evil that gets in that can pervert and distort and destroy, right? So we have to again choose, as I say so often, either we go into the darkness or we lean into the light. That means to lean into God. We have to choose. We have to make that choice. And it seems to me that the farther and farther we get away from God, no matter what wonderful, beautiful things that we're able to do, we're giving evil the upper hand. And it's always going to be a battle. It's always going to be a bit of a, not a bit of, but a real conflict so long as we're in this world. But it's, and I say this and then we'll take a break. It's for Christians, And in a very specific way for Catholics, because we're so focused on we should be. I mean, the highest act of worship happens in a sacrificial way. It's the representation, the renewal, the perpetuation of the Paschal mystery, the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And so our worship is centered in that sacrifice. So it's sacrificial. That's why we need the priest. That's why we have to, in our proper participation in the Mass is to offer our lives, to lay down our lives, to lose ourselves in Christ so that we can then receive God in order to do the will of God. We have to be disposed to do the will of God. In that, ours is not an escape from reality, but it's that we have the courage and the heroism, really, to enter into reality, to get in the trenches and to fight the good fight, to defend. As I was saying last week about Father's Day, right, that a man, in the very nature of man in God is to defend life from the moment of conception, is to defend marriage and family, which is the basis of a civil society, always has been. In most every culture, you know, but all of a sudden we've become so wise that we can seem to tamper with that, change that. You see the demonic, the evil that is infiltrated and really taken possession, or I don't want to call it full demonic possession, but that we're obsessed with this evil that has disguised itself in a good when it's no good at all. That, you know, my body, my choice. Well, it's always our choice. We're always free. But in Judeo-Christianity, certainly in Christianity, which is the perfection of all that was that preceded the messianic moment, it's what did I say? Sunday was talking about the Holy Trinity, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's really about obedience, sacrifice, and love, right? That God the Father made the sacrifice in sending his Son, who in obedience offered himself in sacrifice, and both they do it for the love of the people. You know, this is at the heart of who we are, and it's all for the purpose of salvation and sanctification. But faith is asking God to change you. You know, all right, we'll take a break, Nick. We'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the divine mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the Rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, Adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
Get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
You've got your radio turned on to Winds of Change, where you can hear about your faith and hear about today's culture through the lens of Christ's teachings with Father Anthony Bush and others. Monday through Friday at noon on AM 750. Keep Winds of Change on by going to ststandschurch.org and click on the radio tab to donate. And Winds of Change offers thanks for your donation.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks so much for being with us. There's two other things I wanted to get into, and maybe we'll do this Thursday and Friday. One is this exorcist who says the problem is, which is worse, Satan or sin? What do you think?
Sin.
Sin, exactly. We'll address that later, because I want to, today in the Liturgy of the Hours, we have the commentary by St. Cyprian on the Our Father. And I was thinking this morning, because we really are in this cultural battle. By the way, I ordered this combat rosary.
Oh, yeah.
I cannot wait. Yeah. I'm really so excited about this. You know, I saw it advertised the other day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a, and we'll talk, well, when I get it out, right. When I see it and feel it and get the, then I can speak more about it. But right. I truly believe And I'm hearing this more and more. And I heard a wonderful, wonderful interview with a priest, his father, Heilman. With Marshall Taylor. You know, it was a very, if you get a chance, that's where I got the inspiration to get this rosary. Right. He's in Madison, Wisconsin. And it was so inspiring for me to listen to this interview. But the, but more and more people are speaking about the cultural war, the combat. And we've got to fight the good fight. We've got to awaken. And the more I'm hearing this, the more I have hope that this is going to happen, that people are waking up. It may be not the masses, but that's okay, because there's a power in the faith and the fight of the Anawim, the little flock. God is with us, you see. And and by the way, that's all part of the Lord of the Rings, you know, that the battle and how, anyway, we've talked about
all
that.
All ties in.
But let me, so we'll come back to this, Satan and sin, and then also boys will be boys and should be to become true men, you know, what we're doing to boys. This is, suggesting on Sunday, and I think last week, that I think one of the major crisis in the society is fatherlessness, you know, and there's again, the powers and the principalities that want to bring down what is inherent in men to be fathers. But speaking of fathers, so Saint Cyprian, his reflections today, this is going back, I forgot what century, the very earlier centuries of the church. He says, how merciful the Lord is to us, how kind, how richly compassionate, that he wished us to repeat this prayer in God's sight, to call the Lord our Father, and as Christ is God's Son, be called in turn sons of God. None of us would ever have dared to utter this name unless Jesus himself had allowed us to pray it in this way. And therefore, we should bear in mind, realize that when we call God our Father, we ought also to act like sons and daughters. If we're pleased to call him Father, let him in turn be pleased to call us sons. So he says we should live like the temples of God we are, so that it can be seen that God lives in us. No act of ours should be unworthy of the Spirit. Not that we have begun to live in heaven and in the Spirit. All our thoughts and actions should be heavenly and spiritual. That's why I say that the weapons needed today, we just got to cleave to these three things, especially these two, and that is, the three, the Holy Eucharist, the Holy Rosary, and Sacred Scripture, especially the Psalms, because all of Scripture, but the Psalms are part of the prayer of the Church. Anyway, he goes on to say that our thoughts and action should be heavenly and spiritual. For as the Lord himself has said, those who honor me, I will honor. Those who despise me shall be despised. And the blessed apostle wrote in his letters, you are not your own, you were bought with a great price, so glorify and bear God in your body. So may we go on to say, may your name be hallowed. It is not that we think to make God holy by our prayers, rather, we're asking God that his name be made holy in us. Indeed, how could God be made holy, he who is the source of holiness? Still, because he himself said, be holy, for I am holy, we pray and beseech him that we who have been hallowed in baptism may persevere in what we have begun. And we pray for this every day, for we have need of daily sanctification. Sinning every day, we cleanse our faults again and again by constant sanctification. So that really takes me back to what Colbert said. What is faith? But faith is asking God to change me, right? Mm-hmm. Now, the Apostle Paul teaches us in these words concerning the sanctification which God's loving kindness confers on us. And listen to this, because this is the battle we're in. And this isn't to single out one or the other. Just listen to all this. This is right from St. Paul. He says, neither the immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor robbers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such indeed you were, but you've been washed and you have been sanctified. You have been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. We were sanctified, he says, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Hence, we make our prayer that this sanctification may remain in us, because we're always against these vices or these inclinations. Do you see, you hear what I'm saying? So it's this is a battle that we're in. What we want to do is we want to dispense with the battle. We don't want we want basically what we want in our society today. What our society is basically advocating or promoting is, in a word, the free reign of the flesh. You know, and so is this the week of the Gay Pride Parade?
I wonder. I don't know.
I think it is.
It might be.
You know. There, people, families are going to be out there, you know. Mm-hmm. Now, I, you know, a couple of bishops and some priests have already spoken about this, and they've gotten a backlash, horrible backlash, and so some have, stepped back. But I happened a couple of years ago. I was going to visit a sick person at Illinois Masonic on a Sunday. It was in the afternoon, and I caught the backlash of that parade. And you tell me, you know, what is what I saw was, you know, would I, as a father, bring my children to such a? It made me think of Moses coming off the mountain, and the, and watching his people, who had given themselves over to the worship of false gods, and and in this this collective corporate kind of orgy.
Is such a good way to describe it, and I've had that experience too.
I mean, but you can't say anything against that.
No,
you know. But this is the culture, and we have to have the courage. We have to have the. We're not here to condemn anybody. We're here to say, you know, no, we're not the. We don't want to give our natural inclination is to give ourselves over to the things of the flesh, but where does that take people? You know. I read something really horrible yesterday about these two women who it was a lesbian relationship, and I mean it's not just to single out the, you know, but I'm just saying that, you know, to sanctify all these, you know, new ways of being, I can't even say what they did to this the son of the one.
That's probably
they. Cut off his genitals and beheaded him because he reminded her of his father, of the father.
Wow.
You know? And that's, anyway, just, but I'm just saying that there's something not right here. It's all these things that, this litany of things that characterize the free reign of the flesh, we have to work against that. We're at war with ourselves, but we're created for God. We're temples of God. And yes, it's a battle, but the Lord is with us. That's why we persevere in humility, saying, Lord, I can't do it without you. And so I surrender myself to you so that I can find true freedom. If we surrender to the Spirit of God, then we find a true freedom. But it means we have to enter into the discipline of the faith, and it's a struggle for everybody. Everybody. So anyway, yes, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We're here to live, to do the will of God. If we choose not, then, yeah, we're in battle. We got to claim the victory. All right, everybody, thanks for being with us. We'll be back later. Almighty God bless you. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Happy birthday, Nick. God bless you. Ciao.
Amen.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Time to be stirred, the time is now, the wind. that you say when right from wrong has become so obscure. It does not take that long, can you see?